So my preach today is going to be out of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And I'll give you a little bit of background. And it's in the context of the challenging times which we're living in at the moment. And right now, many of us are facing many challenges. And to such a degree that some of us are changing our lives. And you know, I just looked at Carl and Delia, you know, God's calling them into something new, and there's going to be a change in what's happening in their lives. Not only for Carl and Delia, but the whole family, there's going to be a shift. And for some of us, we're making career decisions, we're making house decisions, and it's a challenging time. But that's just what God asked Jeremiah to do as well. You know, Jeremiah was minding his own business, and suddenly God spoke to him. And it was during the time that Israel was going through tough times. And God then came to this little guy and he said, Jeremiah, I need you to do something. And it's not a time that we're in at the moment where we've got to shrink back. You know, COVID. Oh, Lord, it's COVID. I don't want to go out there. Lord, no. You know, God is bigger than COVID. God has a plan and a purpose for us that goes beyond COVID. And it's during the times of difficulty that we're facing at the moment that he wants us to move forward. He wants us to stand up. He wants us to be counted. He doesn't want us to shrink back. He doesn't want us to compromise, to give in, to give up. He wants us to move forward. And he wants us, as individuals sitting here, to become courageous. And we'll go through courageous just now. So if you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 2, you stick that up on the board for me, and says, talking about Jeremiah, to who the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So he's talking about a period run about 627 before Christ. That's when this all took place. Now, obviously, Israel were defiant and they were moving away from the things and the ways of the Lord. And it goes on that his Jeremiah ministry, actually, if you do the math, was started 2,465 years ago. And I find it absolutely fascinating that the same story which is written in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, is relevant for you today as it is relevant for me today. It's like, what? 2,460? How could that be relevant to me? Hold on to your seats. And in Jeremiah 1:3, the book of Jeremiah, it then expands into the 11th year of Zedekiah, which was 586 BC. And then if you do the math, it works out that Jeremiah, his ministry lasted for approximately 41 years. God gave him one message to preach for 41 years. Now, some of us, we like every Sunday, Rion stands up here, or we bring somebody else up, and every Sunday is a new message. Oh, I've got to preach this. I read this book, or I heard this from the Lord, and I'm going to preach this, and I'm going to preach that. But just imagine coming here and sitting here every Sunday, and you hear this. Love one another. Next Sunday, you come here, Rion stands up, and he says, love one another. Next week, you come back. This is the third week in a row. Love one another. 41 years later, love one another. Now, some of you guys are going to say, look, I've heard this preached for 41 years. I'm not coming back. Some of you are actually going to say, maybe we should love one another. Then you'll stop preaching that. So Jeremiah came at a very important time for Israel. And just like you and I are living in an extremely important time of our country. We're living in an extremely important time of our country. Just to digress slightly, we are facing a massive court battle with the government. We're now talking about this Equality Act that they want to pass through government. Everybody has equal access and equal rights to everything. So if I preach out of the gospel, somebody can walk in there and say that's offensive, it's classified as hate speech, and they can close us down. Everybody can go into the bank and say, I want to be part of this bank, I need that, it's equality, so they've got to accept that person, whether they have money or not, as a client. And so it's really a tough time that we are facing going forward. But God is bigger than the Equality Act that the government's going to try and push through, and we will fight that as well. There's so many implications and complications about this as well. But then he goes on to tell us in Jeremiah 1:5, chapter 1, verse 5, that God told him, now this is very important for all of you to hear, God told him before he was formed in his womb that God consecrated him, that means he set him apart, and appointed him to be a prophet for the nations. He says there, before I formed you in the womb, I already knew you. Now, as you're sitting here in front of me today, before you were born, God knew you. He didn't get to know you like, hey, I'm 20. Okay, hey, Enrico, I'm God. Nice to meet you. No, he knew Enrico before he was born. See, your physical existence does not determine your existence. You existed in God's thought and his mind even before you existed. And he had a plan, and he has a plan and a purpose for you. And he goes on to say this. Your life existed before you actually existed. Your life existed in his mind, in his heart, in his vision for you. Your life already existed. And he spoke you into being. And he watched you growing in your mother's womb. God tells Jeremiah two other things. In Jeremiah 1:5, he tells Jeremiah, before he was born, he was anointed. I appointed you as a prophet. Just go on to chapter 6, verse 6. So he appointed him and anointed him to become a prophet, even before he was born. So Arun was talking about, you know, we need to walk in the calling. What is your calling? But, you know, God has already established and anointed you for your calling. So I didn't know what my calling was. And I went in, most of you guys know my background. I went into business. I was in business for 32 years. And then suddenly I gave up business to join ministry, to come into full-time ministry. And I remember the pastor's wife, shortly after I got saved, she had a dream, and she was waiting at the door for Laureen and I. And when we arrived there, she said, Kim, I had such a vivid dream about you last night. I dreamt you were going to become a full-time pastor. I said, no, no, listen, I'm a full-time businessman. Pastors are losers. I think God had the last laugh on that one. So your physical existence simply initiates your ability to live your external purpose. And we're all called to live our external purpose. And that's for eternity. Many of us are building on blocks at the moment, on a foundation. And we're saying, okay, Jesus is my foundation. That's the only foundation that you can build on. But the building material for the house that God wants you to do is for Yara now. I'll use this, and I'm going to use that. I'm going to use my career. I'm going to use my kids. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But all these things will face a test and will be manifest in heaven one day. And those things which you've been building with will burn away. And then God's going to say, okay, what have you built for eternity? I called you for a plan and a purpose. What are you building? So, Lord, I built that fantastic home. I started a business. Oh, Lord, my kids, look how I raised them. He said, how is that going to help you through eternity. So we need to take stock of where we are at the moment. Are you building with eternity in mind? Remember, your life is about this long. Now, my beautiful wife, Laureen, she's just turned 70. I can't believe it. She wants to live 200. I don't want to be around in those days. Yes. I can't imagine it. Just imagine walking around 100-year-old, changing the nappies, brushing the false teeth, on the walker. And I said, beam me up, Scotty. I want to go sooner. See, you and I were born for an eternal purpose. You can write that down. I was born for eternal purpose. You weren't just born to live a life here and say, get up at 7 o'clock, whatever time, 8 o'clock I'm at work, 5 o'clock I'm back home, feed the kids, go to bed. Tomorrow morning I get up at the same time, feed the kids, go to work, back, feed the family, go to bed. No, you were born for eternal purpose. What is God's eternal purpose for you? And are you living that? We don't have to come up with a purpose. God created us with a purpose. God created each one of you for a purpose. I believe that I am currently walking in my purpose. But it took, I think, 57 years. No, a little bit less. 52 years for me to realize that the direction and what I was building on is completely incorrect. And suddenly, I got it. That's God's purpose for my life. You see, many of us feel aimless, hopeless, and confused, and even lost in this season of our lives. I mean, Lord, what is going on? You know, I can't get a job. It's COVID. Businesses are closing down. There's a lack of employment opportunities. Finances are down. God's called you for a bigger purpose than that, and it's an eternal purpose. And just like Steve Jobs pre-designed the Apple computer, so God pre-designed you for an eternal purpose. He had a purpose for you, and he has a purpose for each one of you sitting here. And it's his purpose, not your purpose. Now we go now. No. We'll do this. I was mentioned on a preach on Sunday night. There's a young guy that I knew. I used to meet with him every Thursday for breakfast. And he said to me, Kim, as soon as I turn 40, I would have made enough money on the stock market and what have you. And then I'm going to give up everything. I'm going to just work for the Lord. Sounds noble and sounds very interesting. Maybe that was God's calling. Maybe that's God's plan for eternity for this guy to come in and do that. So he had his 40th birthday. Guess what he's doing? Making another buck, making another dollar, carrying on investing in the stock exchange. So he's walking away from God's calling and God's purpose. Now we need to start living courageously in the life that's set before us. So I just want to highlight some big things. If you're taking notes, just take notes on these very important statements I'm going to make now. Before you were born, God already knew you. Before you were born, God already anointed you. Now, some of you believe that, as soon as I step into ministry, the anointing's going to fall and hallelujah. Now, you were anointed before you were born, just like Jeremiah. Before you were born, God had already appointed you. God had already appointed me to do what I'm doing before I started doing it. I was just doof. I just thought I'm going to be this business guy, not this loser. And God said, no, I've called you, I've appointed you, and I've anointed you for my purpose. And that's what he wants to do with each one of you. And God has already determined for every single person sitting here that he has determined a purpose for you. And that's what he wants you to walk into. So how should we respond to this? He's saying, Kim, how do I respond to this? It's all interesting and sounds magnificent. But how do I respond to this? Let's look at how Jeremiah responded. And a lot of you are going to respond like this as well. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6. Then I said, Our Lord God, behold, I did not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. Who's 15 years old here? Give me a guy that's 15 years old. Come here, my boy. You're not 15, Josh. You're 22. What's your name? Malachi. You can take off your mask. Just show the guys your face. So this is Malachi. Now think of him as Jeremiah. 15-year-old boy. Full of fear. Now, because God has said, I've anointed you to be a prophet to the nations. You're going to have to go and speak to kings and tell them this message. And they're going to sit there in their robes and the royalty with their gold and their specters and everything. And a lighty like this is going to come in. And he says, I have got a message from the Lord from you. And they say, you're a snot-nosed kid. Get out of my company. You're not a snot-nosed kid. You're a good. Malachi, a name like that, you're going to do well. Thanks, Mark, but you can have a seat. You see, you can throw any excuse you want to. Oh, but Lord, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too lazy. And God says, no, I've already called you, I've already anointed you, I've already appointed you. And so what excuses are you going to use when you hear God saying, I've called you in a place and a time for now. So you could be like Malachi, 15 years old. Jeremiah was 15 years old when he was called. You can imagine in those days, he had to go to the nation of Israel, to the kings and to the leaders, and share a message, the same message from 41 years. And they called him the weeping prophet because nobody listened to him. You know, for 41 years, I started at 15 years old, and I finished when I was like 56, and nobody listened to me, Lord. And all he had to say was, Israel, turn back to you, the Lord your God. Repent and worship the Lord your God and only him. Do not worship foreign idols. It's like I said, for 41 years, you're going to hear, love one another. Love one another. The Lord then told Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 7, don't say, you are only a youth. Because God, at that point in time, he says, don't say you're a youth. Don't say you're lazy. Don't say you're too energetic. Don't say you're fat, tall, thin, tall, dark, and handsome like myself. Thanks. I've already called you. I've already anointed you. Go into the things that I've destined you for. See, this is very important. God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. You know, it's such an important statement. God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. I mean, how many of us sit here, I'm not worthy. I don't think I can do this. You're actually questioning who God is, the power of God, the calling, the anointing, the sanctification, everything. You know, the set apart. You're saying, oh God, I can't do this. But he says, I go before you. I will always be with you. All the days of your life, I will be with you. And you say, no, 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 that must be for the guy next to me. Look at the person next to you and say, no, it's not for you, it's for me. See, a lot of you guys are laughing here. So, yeah, no, no, I'm not so sure about this. See, God believed and he said to him, go and speak. And Rion and the team are sitting here and saying, go and do. Don't just sit here and think this is a lack of place. I come to church on Sundays. I tick that box and I go to community on a Wednesday night. I tick that box and I'm good. No, no. God's saying, I need you to walk in my calling, your anointing, for all the days of your life. Not just Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. We'll get to that. Are you willing to go where God tells you to go and speak what God tells you to speak? Will you be willing to do that? You see, it takes courage. And God says, I have not blessed you with a spirit of timidity, but that of courage and boldness. And I can't remember where Rudolf Mottbible told me in Revelation where certain people will not be able to. I think it's Revelation 19, where he says, people that are not courageous will not enter into heaven. Something like that. Rudolf's looking at me like, I can't remember where that is. Maybe Kim's making it up. See, you're going to have to trust God with your own inadequacies. My weakness, my this, my that, Lord. No, God, I trust you because you are always with me. Then Jeremiah 1 verse 8 says this. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. I am with you to deliver you. How many times when we are confronted with a challenging thing, it's like, I'd rather not do that. I don't have the courage. I'm fearful. I'm a little bit nervous. You know, I know I heard this person speaking and I felt the Holy Spirit convict me just to maybe share something with him. I don't have the courage. Maybe they'll reject me. Or God asked me to pay for that person's groceries. And I thought, oh Lord, I've only got so much money. If I pay for their groceries, I'll have nothing. See, you're forgetting that the Lord says, do not be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you. It's very important that. Have you forgotten that if God sends you, he goes with you? And you know the difference between faith and courage. What is the difference between faith and courage? Faith is when we say, I'm going to listen to what God wants to say to me, and I believe it is from him. So I'm going to listen to what God is saying to me, and I'm actually going to believe. It's not like I had a bad pizza the night before, and I'm having all these hallucinations, you know, I've got to do this and everything. But just think of that situation. Jesus was fast asleep. No, he wasn't fast asleep. He was walking on the water. and the disciples saw him walking on water. And Peter looked at him and said, Jesus, is that you? He wasn't sure if it was Jesus or a ghost who spoke. He said, Jesus, is that you? And he said, it is I. And he wanted to walk on water. And he said, Lord, if it is you, let me come to you. And he climbed out the boat. You see, he first listened. He affirmed that it was Jesus calling him. And he stepped out of the boat. And he started walking on water. That is faith. I heard God. I'm now going to put it into action. Courage is when I say, I'm going to do it. And that's what Peter had. He actually, God, yes, Jesus, that's you. Yeah, you said I can walk on water. Great. And he stood still. He didn't stand still. He climbed out of the boat. And he walked on water. That is courage. And God wants us to have courageous faith in the season that we are in at the moment with the challenges that you are facing. And sometime, at some point in your life, God is going to ask you to do things which are completely, completely out of your comfort zones. Even this congregation, as I sit here, you know, I was reflecting on this interesting event that happened with us at the moment. Most of you guys know who Richard Gordon is. He leads our Somerset West congregation. That's not a big congregation. I think the biggest they got to was about 80 people. 80, 85 people. Do you know that two congregations were planted out of Somerset West? One in Crebeau and one in Gordons Bay. And every time he planted out, 30 people went to each one of those congregations. He gave of his best. He took his best comm leaders. And he said, Willem, you go to Crebeau. And he said to Sean Sill, Sean, you go to Gordons Bay and you plant there. Now suddenly you got this congregation that's down to 30 people. And it's got 5 elders sitting there. They overheld it. But guess what? It's already back up to 60, 70 people. Because as they sin, God adds. As you guys send a guy like Carl, God's going to add more. And as you guys are sitting here, God's going to give Rian and the team a God-sized dream. If he, you know, Rian could sit here and say, listen, we're going to open a coffee shop. That's not a good God-sized call. That's just the man call. But if God says to him, oh, I need you to build 3 more levels on you, on this church, because you guys are going to expand, he's going to say, what? Where are we going to get the finances? The foundations aren't strong enough. The neighbors are giving us, they're going to give us a hard time again. Da, 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 all of that stuff. But it's a God-sized vision. And if he's obedient, he'll do it because God spoke to him. It will take faith and it will take courage for him to do that. I don't want you to just say, yeah, I heard God saying that I must go to Pick and Pay and buy some groceries. I want God, give me the nations. And you're saying, but hang on, Kim. How can you pray to God now? Give me the nations. Well, it's impossible. You know that South Africa can't go into any country at the moment? If you're a South African, you can't fly into Europe, you can't fly into England, you can't fly into America because we're South African. Because they think we got chochos that are bigger than COVID. Even if you go in with a vaccination certificate, they still won't allow you in because you're a South African. But South Africa is different. We will just open the borders to everybody and they can come with all their rubbish and we can all get infected. But every day we pray, Lord, give us the nations. We want to penetrate the nations. We want people to be saved. We want the gospel to be spread. Lord, in our strength, we cannot do this. It's not in our ability to travel at the moment. But Lord, you said, go into the nations. And we want to go into the nations. How do we do this? We've got Josh Jen Life. Nobody corrected me and called it Live, eh? We're changing it to Life because Live, it's not true. It's all recorded, so we're changing it to Josh Jen Life. So we want to be honest. We're reaching on Josh Jen Life 54 nations. From America to England to Switzerland to Hong Kong to Afghanistan to Zambia to Angola. There's somebody in, there's 6 people in Angola watching us every week. 54 nations that we are reaching via digital media. Every week we send a list to various lead elders saying, yes, 5 people that have contacted us that would like to join a community. It's nothing that you guys have done. You haven't invited them. A message has gone out via digital media and they have phoned us and said, please, we'd like to join a community. I think we sent you a guy not so long ago, Rian. How's this? Will Marie, he did his testimony a couple of months ago. There was a young lady in Turkey who committed her life to the Lord. We've had over 50 salvations on Josh Jen Life. And that lady in Turkey, I believe it's a seed that God has planted in Turkey that we can see Christianity start evolving in a Muslim nation through one person that gave her life to the Lord. God, I've got to have dreams bigger than the dreams that I would have in my human nature. I've got to have God-sized dreams. And I trust that each one of you guys, when you leave here, says, God, give me a God-sized dream. You might be a community leader and you've got 10 people or 12 or 20 people. You say, God, give me a community of 50 people so I can sow out 4 communities so this church can continue to grow and grow because we want to advance the kingdom. Lord, your hand of favor is on us. Lord, we just heard these amazing numbers of 740 odd people that have joined us as and become members. Just in Swellendam the other day, they prayed in 46 new members. Swellendam. It's amazing. And the interesting thing about when God sent him out, he didn't just want him to be courageous. He also wanted him to know, and this is what you need to know, is that when you go out with the power of God. Now, a lot of you are sitting on your power at the moment. Now, I'm not talking about the gas that comes out of you. I'm talking about somebody's looking at him, what do you mean? See, we need to see ourselves as God sees ourselves. And God says, you know, I will be with you to the end of your days. But what I love, and this is the way we're going to end this, is let's look at Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and you should all know this backwards. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So he's given us authority. Jesus lives inside of us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just pause there for a moment. But Kim, we can't go into the nations because you just told us it's COVID, even though we've got a vaccination certificate. We are South African. Now, let me tell you where your nation starts. Your neighbor, your colleague, your family. And then slowly you move out of Edgemead. Then you go to Pinelands, Tableview, Dunoon, and then the city of Cape Town, and then Bloemfontein. Who's from Bloemia? Just raise your hands quickly. So you know that why was Jesus born in Bethlehem in Israel and not Bethlehem in the Free State? Anybody know? They couldn't find three wise men in the Free State. Let's think 20 on. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So God has commanded you something. You've got to take his command seriously. You know, the word also says, don't only be hearers of God's word. You must become doers of God's word. That's why I prayed, Lord, when we leave here, we do not want to be the same. We actually want to go out here with his word in my heart, and I want to become a doer because I've heard your word. I want to be obedient to you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. So you are now going with the authority, with the power of the Lord Jesus inside of you. You cannot afford to sit here on your laurels and think the person next to you is going to do it. Tell the person next to you, I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. Okay, you've just said this under the Lord, eh? See, this is our commission. This is our calling. You say, oh, I don't know what my calling is. Kim, you were called out of business. You know, doing something for Jesus. That's your calling. But what is my calling? This is your calling. Going into the nations and making disciples of all people. God has given you the authority. God has given you the mandate. God has given you the ability. Now, many of us are so afraid we don't have that courageous faith to share God's word. And what is that courageous faith? Each one of you have it inside of you. What happened to you when you met Jesus? Your life changed like this. I was into alcohol as an adulteress. I was just a gnarly guy. Our marriage was falling apart, and then we met Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. And now we've been married for 41 years. Happily married. Jesus is the glue. He is the bond. And he's now called us into our destiny, and we're moving forward with courageous faith. Because as I said earlier on, the gates of hell will not prevail. God has called us, and we're moving into our destiny. And yes, there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be challenging times. There's going to be obstacles. But God's authority, but God's power in each one of us. We cannot afford to shrink back and say, it's not for me. It's not for me. It's for that guy on the stage. No. I can give this microphone to each one of you and say, come and share your testimony quickly. And you'll stand up here and say, I can't believe what God did to me 20 years ago. And we're all going to break out in tears, but then we're all going to say, how great is our God. Hey? How great is our God. So it's a lot to steward, and I'm asking you guys for a lot on behalf of Andrew, who sends his love, by the way, and on Rion and the team. It's a lot to steward, but God is now entrusting you. Listen to this. God is trusting you with his authority. Let's let that sink in for a while. God is trusting you with his authority. God speaks one word and it comes into being. He's giving you the same authority. Doesn't mean you're going to say, Ferrari. We've got to be sure and accept the commission and live out our calling. If you're really struggling with this, I'd ask you to speak to your comm leaders, the deacons, and your elders. Help me to identify what that calling is. Lord, we've been called here into this place, right now, in this time, for this place, for this season, to advance your kingdom. When everybody seems powerless, everybody seems hopeless, we're hearing about all the rubbish that's going on. We see what's happening in America. We see what's happening in Europe. We're seeing what's happening with Muslims. And everything is just so depressing. Isn't it? No. I look to the author and the finisher of my faith, who came down from heaven to earth, sacrificed himself on the cross, bore our sins, took every one of our sins, both past, current, and future, died on the cross for you and I. He laid his life down for each one of us. Resurrected after 3 days. That same resurrection power that lifted him up to the seat on the right-hand side of Father God is in each one of us. You think you're going to die and just lay down there and sleep for the rest of your life? If you're a reborn Christian, no, you're going to fall asleep and wake up at the feet of Jesus, seeing his beautiful glory. And you will be given a glorious new body, radiating in his glory. Tall, dark, and handsome. If you don't know Jesus, you won't enjoy the pleasure, the joy, the glory of eternity. Remember I said our lives are this long in reality. Eternity is like forever. You're like a flower this today, and tomorrow the petals fall off and you die. You come here to die. No, today, I mean. Can you bow your heads? God, it is our prayer that you will give us the grace to rise up and live the courageous calling that you have placed in our lives. In every relationship that we have, not only with our spouses, our loved ones, our families, but our colleagues and our neighbors as well. Lord, we do not want to be afraid of who you created us to be. Lord, we want to walk into our calling. We want to walk into the destination with courage and with faith. Lord, we know that we were called before we were created. Lord, we know that we were anointed before we even existed. Lord, we want to walk into everything doing your will, not our will.